Good Shepherd Sermon for Ash Wednesday, February 17th, 2021. Pastor Paul Talbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
For us to look at today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, and you'll find it at the top of each of the pages. See, we're going up to Jerusalem. These are words of Jesus to his disciples. We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes. We're going to be looking at that today as we look at what was going on when Jesus went to Jerusalem. We already know, don't we, what was going on? Jesus was going on to be delivered, to be handed over, to die for us. So as we ponder this and have a little time for meditation, we're going to use the weather outside right now just to remind us of what's going on, because it's a really good picture of what's really happening in life. Right now, if you're watching online, we are in the middle of America, a place called Wisconsin. It's winter, and we've seen the temperatures drop way below zero. It's a little bit unusual for us. If you're watching anywhere else online, you'll notice that weird things have happened in the weather. It's gotten really cold in England. It's gotten really cold in Texas. They had an ice storm followed by another ice storm. When these things happen, what do we do? Well, we go to our local weatherman, find out what's the next thing on the list. What do they do before weathermen? And they're all fancy machines. They would look. They would pay very close attention to the skies. If the skies start to get dark, start a certain type of cloud, we'd say, uh-oh, storm's coming. That's what's happening in our text right now. A storm is coming. And it's coming right for Jesus. And when it's coming for Jesus, we don't understand what's going on, and the disciples don't understand what's going on, and Jesus says, I know what's going on. We're going to Jerusalem. And so he lets them know. One of the things that I'm finding out is that by the training that God has given to me and my reading of the Bible and the Christians I'm associating with here as well as elsewhere, God is a master craftsman of his word. When we looked at the books of the Bible, we're looking at it every Sunday, we look at another book of the Bible in Bible class. And one of the things we found out is that God uses not just the personality of the writer, but God uses a structure to help people understand how he is better and better. For instance, Matthew loves the Old Testament. He quotes from the Old Testament all the time so people know, oh, this is the promised Messiah, here he is. This is the promised Messiah, here he is. And he lets people put two and two together who actually know the Old Testament well. If you know the Old Testament well, you know that the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. They're called the Pentateuch, the five books. And those five books, I mean, they lived on those five books. And the kings of Israel, you know what the first job of the king of Israel was to do? The first job of the king of Israel, once he sits on his throne, was to go to the Levites in the temple, and with them looking on, the king was supposed to write down all the rules of those five books. And when that was all done, he was supposed to take a copy back home with him and read a little bit every day. And God said, I want to bless you, and this is how it happens. Wow, that's just neat. So they lived by those five books. They loved the five books. They called them the law. And then what happens? Well, you come to the book of Matthew, and five times he breaks out little chunks of Jesus' teaching. And each time a chunk is broken out, it says, When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, that phrase appears five times in Matthew. Right before Jesus tells them certain deeper things to help them understand God a little bit better. And that's what he says right now. After he had finished these things, he said these things to his disciples. So what is he saying? Well, they're going to pay attention. And what's he saying? We're going to go to Jerusalem. What's happening at Jerusalem? Well, what is happening at Jerusalem? Jerusalem is the capital city. Jerusalem is a place where people will go to hang out. Jerusalem is the place where the scribes and the Pharisees are, and they're the ones that set the rules for worshiping. They're the ones that set the standard for living. The scribes and the Pharisees, we have a hard time. They loved where they were. They're at the top of the pyramid. They loved that. They loved all the attention. They loved their respect. They did not like to hang around with ne'er-do-wells. They did not like to hang around with people who didn't have their act together. They had all their friends. We had all their friends, and they were at the top of it. They loved that. They would show off their faith. They go to the temple. They go on the steps, and they pray to God like that. Hands up in the air, really loud, really loud. They'd have special kinds of clothes that they would wear, and they would tithe everything, even down to the pepper that they would put on their steak. 1/10 goes to God. They would find all sorts of ways to show on the outside that, oh yes, I'm a great believer. God really loves me, and you just know that God loves me. And people go, oh, God really loves them. And Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. Nothing there. Nothing on the inside but dead bones. So Jerusalem had this place where all these fancy people were. They loved all the attention that they were getting until Jesus came. You know, that was the problem. Jesus was the problem. Because when Jesus came, when Jesus spoke, his words touched people's hearts. His hands touched untouchable people. It would heal the blind, take leprosy away, raise little girls back to life. They can't have this Jesus going around because people are starting to follow him. They were starting to listen to him. They were starting to actually love him more than the scribes and the Pharisees. So they got together. A perfect storm. Here's all these people coming for the Passover. Here's Jesus coming for the Passover. And here's are the scribes and Pharisees. We got to get rid of this guy. It says, he held his office from 18 to 36 AD. And he says, we have to get together to destroy Jesus. And they got together to plot how to kill another human being by the name of Jesus Christ. These are the religious leaders. So now what are they going to do? You and I, when we see a storm like this coming, we would say, well, let's just back away a little bit. Let's check our, is this really worth fighting for? Is this, we do all that kind of stuff. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus went right into that storm. He went right into the storm because only Jesus could do what God had said he was going to do. He went into the storm, he addressed what was going on, and all of the hellish ideas came and they tried to keep him away from the cross. They tried to, well, we'll crucify you some other time. We'll put you to death some other way. We'll try and trip you up along the way so that people hate you, and nothing worked. Because God said, no, he's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to be handed over to the scribes and the Pharisees, and they're going to crucify him. He's going there to be delivered to them to die for sin. And why is that important? I think it's important for us to understand that Jesus is really who he says he is. He really is true God, which means, are you hurting? Jesus hurt. Are you angry that people are treating God's word so badly? Jesus was angry. Are you bleeding? Jesus bled. Do you feel the heartache of maybe a loved one betraying you or turning their back on you? Jesus knew that heartache really well. He had an absolutely crushing heartbreak. And not just with his friends betraying him, not just with his friends denying him. His most crushing heartbreak happened when he was on the cross, suffering incredible pain, and God the Father turned his back on his son, even though his son had not done a single thing wrong. It hurt so much that he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He never lost his faith. In all of that pain and heartache and loneliness, he never lost his faith. Instead, what do you hear from that cross? From that storm that's going on around him, you hear these words shouting out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. Again and again he would say that. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. Those are words that came from the cross in the middle of the storm because all of our sins were swirling around and being pushed onto him. And he took it for us. And he died for us. He's delivered up for us. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So he was in a bad place, but he was not stuck there. He went there on purpose. Sometimes you and I feel kind of stuck in a bad place because we don't have all power in heaven and on earth. But God has all power in heaven and on earth, and he went there on purpose to the very hard place so that you and I would be freed. And so we would know that we can go to him with anything, at any time, any place, with any words whatsoever. You have a financial problem? You can go to God. You break up with your girlfriend or your boyfriend. God knows what that heartache feels like. Is there a whole bunch of silence between you as husband and wife that you don't want to be there? God knows how that feels. And God stands ready and willing and able to help us. That's the God that we serve. And we know that because he kept on going that way, to the way of the cross. Now you saw on that little screen there, again, how God did an amazing thing that we're going to be celebrating again tonight. At a common meal, the Passover meal. The Passover meal was invented by God so that believers could remind themselves and teach the next generation that God is a God who keeps his promises and God can make a way when there is no way to be made. Remember the storm that was pounding century after century the Israelites in Egypt? They had been turned into slaves. The Egyptians had taken away their freedom, had taken away all their joy, and were hounding them to death, killing their baby boys. There was no hope. What happened? God sent Moses, and he said, we're going to get out of here. I can make a way. And God started to make a way, and they started to go out of Egypt. And they're thinking, good, finally we're out of here. The Egyptians are gone. And then they come to the Red Sea, and the storm gets really big. It starts to swirl all around. I've been in a tornado. My kids have been in a hurricane. And you know what it is when storms swirl around? It's nothing like what happened there. They can't go forward because of the Red Sea. They can't go north. They can't go south. And coming up behind them is the army, chariots and horses of the Egyptians. What are they going to do? And what does God do? He says, sit tight. And the next morning, they walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. So God did not remove the storm before he acted. Instead, he helped them get through the storm. And that's exactly what Jesus did on the night that he was betrayed. He knew there's a huge storm coming up, a spiritual attack on his disciples, the likes of which they have never, ever seen. He did not want them to fail. He did not want them to give up their hands in despair, thinking that God was useless. So what did he do? He took two elements from that Passover meal. He took bread and he took wine. He took the bread and he said, I am joining all of me to the bread. He took the wine. I'm joining all of my blood to this wine. Eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins. I shared with my every confirmation class that I think that it'd be kind of neat if every time we celebrated the Lord's Supper, the Lord would just shake the building. Because there is a miracle going on here, the likes of which people hardly even understand, where Jesus keeps his word and he joins all of himself to bread and wine. So you get two things you can see, two things you can't see, but they're there. And Jesus says, I want you to understand that I give myself to you so you can rest at ease, be at peace. Your sins, I'm talking to you, your sins have been forgiven. Not a single one has been missed. That is a great joy for us. In Jesus' name, so let us live this week with that joy and that confidence that we serve the God who makes a way. Amen.